Well, I'm very glad to be here today. We are. I'm glad for our long association with this church. I do have a plaque to prove it. So hold on, where'd you go? I do. And in fact, that plaque is proudly displayed on my office wall. So I'm very, very proud of my plaque. But we are glad to be here. You may not have seen the news. You may not have heard this. Have you heard anything that something happened to Michael Jackson? Have you heard? You were hoping you were going to come to church and escape that for a few minutes. Man, has there been anything on the news but that? Any time I've turned on, the last couple of days, turned on CNN or Fox News, that's all they're talking about. I don't think anything else has happened in the world over the last few days except that. Well, that and Farrah Fawcett dying, too. She got kind of overshadowed by Michael Jackson dying the same day. But two cultural icons. Don't panic. This is not what the lesson's going to be about long term. But two cultural icons have passed from the scene this week, and both of whom, people who definitely made a difference in the world. Now, we might argue exactly what kind of difference that was. You want me to moonwalk for you? No, I'm just. But we wouldn't have known moonwalking had it not been for Michael Jackson. But you know, just two characters, sort of larger than life type characters that certainly captured everyone's imagination. But you know, most people don't make that kind of difference in the world. Most people obviously don't get that kind of notoriety or that kind of notice in the world, which is probably a good thing. But at the same time, we look at the life of Jesus and other great characters of the Bible and history and culture, whose lives made such an impact on the world, and we do sort of find ourselves at a loss as to, where do I fit into the world? What difference do I make? When you look at some of these people who've made such an enormous impact on the world, you know, where do I fit, and how do I make a difference? The world seems so big, and my life seems so small. Well, we had an interesting experience this past week. We were actually in New York with a group of students, and had a really interesting experience. We always go to the Today Show. Did you see us? Monday or Tuesday? Yeah. But we've developed a little strategy through the years. We usually go twice a year, take groups to New York. And we developed some strategy through the years of doing this, that if you want to be on TV, then there's sort of a way to go about doing that. But if you don't really care about being on TV, there's a different place you can stand where there's a good chance you'll get to actually talk to the folks, where they actually talk to Matt and Meredith and Ann Curry and Al Roker, if you're a Today Show person, know those names, where you won't be on TV more than likely, but there's a good chance that you'll actually get to talk to them, because you can kind of stand strategically close to where they come and go in and out of the building. And so we did that Monday and Tuesday, and had a real unusual experience on Tuesday, that after they had come out and done one of their deals outside, it's on the last half hour, apparently both Meredith Vieira and Ann Curry were not going to be on TV the rest of that half hour, so they just didn't go back in. They just stood outside, even though the cameras weren't on, they just stood outside kind of working the crowd. So where we were standing was right where they would kind of, when they kind of finished their loop and were going to go back in the building, we were sort of kind of the last people they would encounter. And so Ann Curry came around and stopped and began talking to us. And a lady who was standing right behind us said to Ann Curry, who was really just sort of passing by, said something to her about what a difference she was making in the world. And Ann just sort of stopped and stood there and began talking to us, and probably stood for 5 minutes or so just talking to Sally and I and someone else with us and this lady who was, and I got the picture to prove it if you want to see it afterwards. I got the picture of us with Ann Curry. I'll be glad to autograph a copy of this for you later, but it was really sort of a remarkable conversation, because Ann started talking about her years growing up and her relationship with her dad, and just talking about a lot of stuff that you wouldn't think would just be the sort of thing they'd say in passing as they moved by shaking hands with the crowd. But she said that when she was 10 years old, her dad, just 10 years old, her dad told her that she needed to make a difference with her life. And she says she always remembered that, and that she didn't want to get to the end of her life and look back and wonder, had her life made any difference, had it mattered. And she talked about that at some length. And as she was kind of talking to us and the people around us, she wasn't kind of, she was sort of preaching to us. But obviously, we're not in a position to host Dateline and to travel to Afghanistan on humanitarian missions and do various other things she does. But she was just saying that everybody, wherever they are, whatever they do, needs to be trying to make some difference in the world so that their life will matter. And she specifically talked about trying to help veterans who are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and just all sorts of things. But it was just a very amazing conversation. You know, all of us can change the world. We can make a difference. Oh, again, not in some celebrity global sense, perhaps, but we can make a difference where we are. You know, I may not be able to change the whole world, but can I change some part of the world? Can I change the world where I am, where I live? Perhaps one person at a time. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, actually much of what we know about Jesus comes from his contact with small groups and individuals. You know, we sometimes think of Jesus preaching to large multitudes, which he did, but most of what we really know about Jesus comes from our glimpses that we get of him with individuals or small groups. You know, we see Jesus with a handful of children and interacting with those children. We see Jesus with a man named Zacchaeus, just one guy. But Jesus had lunch with that man one day, and it completely changed his life. There was a woman who was caught in adultery, and just by perhaps coincidence, happened to be dragged down the street where Jesus was, and that encounter changed her life. There was a woman who was sitting at a well when Jesus happened to come wandering up. He's just traveling, just sort of somebody he met at a rest stop. But he struck up a conversation with this lady that he just met at a rest area, and it changed her life. There was a man named Jairus whose daughter was sick. There was a Roman centurion whose servant was sick. There was an old blind beggar named Bartimaeus, whose life was changed because he met Jesus one day. There was a thief that hung on a cross whose life and eternity was changed because he just happened to cross paths with Jesus one day. You know, we don't have to have large crowds at our access. We don't have to be on the world stage to be able to make a difference, just like Jesus did. You know, I might suggest several areas or several ways that we might make a difference in the world. You know, I think that Jesus illustrated that one of the greatest areas where we can make a difference is in the lives of children. It was interesting to see that encounter where Jesus basically, when given the opportunity, ignored the adults and focused on the kids and talked to children. I have a saying that I ran across just recently, that an actual person quote said this. There is an author to this, but I have this saying on my desk, and actually also have it on a plaque, and also have it on a poster, and I have this several places. But it says, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, what sort of house I lived in, or what kind of car I drove. But the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. You know, we can all make a difference in the lives of children. Many of us have access to our own children. That's a good place to start, you know, making a difference in the lives of our own children. Obviously, we could talk a lot about that, about the limited amount of time we have, the opportunities that present themselves, whether it's a trip to the grocery store, a chance encounter with a magazine that leads to a conversation, to just the opportunities that present themselves as we interact with our own children. Some have grandchildren, interact with them, and make a difference in their lives. I know some of the most important people in my life are my 4 grandparents. And still, to this day, though they've all been gone to their reward for many, many years now, they still continue to influence my life. I carry a little day timer, which is never far from me. It's right over there, because I can't remember anything, so I have to write everything down. And in that day timer is a picture of my grandparents. In fact, several pictures of my grandparents, because they were just extremely important to me. And I frequently think of things that my different ones of my grandparents said to me when I was a kid, and just the things that we did together and the influence that they had on my life. I continually feel that influence. So, again, then we have to turn and be that influence for others and for the children that we may encounter. You know, we may make a difference in the lives of our own kids and our grandkids and other people's kids. You know, right now at this very moment, there are children down the hall up the steps, and there are adults with them who are making a difference in their lives. And there are others who taught Sunday school a little while ago who are making a difference in the lives of children. And there are others who, in just innumerable ways, just as we encounter kids, you know, make a difference. I remember, in fact, I've known several different men like this in different churches, but did you ever know a man that handed out candy or gum to kids after church? That may not be politically correct. Surely it's all sugar-free now. But I know I grew up, the church I grew up in, there was a man that just, he handed out gum and candy to all the kids after service. And just through the years at various congregations, I've known that man. He was there, or lady. You know, and you don't have to hand out gum or candy, although I'm sure it would be appreciated. But just, you know, kids notice the adults who notice them and who make a difference in their lives. You know, we make a difference through true friendship. You know, it's hard to overestimate the power of friends. I know the friends who have made a difference in my life. You know, not through doing anything spectacular, not through, you know, giving me $1 million, although I would welcome that. I had a friend who wanted to do that. But just through being there, just through being a presence in my life, being people that I can talk to and turn to, and that people just enjoy being with, and you just think, wow, those people really make a difference in my life. They really affect me. I had a friend years ago, as a teenager and in college years, who was just a very, you know, I didn't really realize he was making a difference in my life at the time. He was just my friend. But through the years, he died in an accident back during those years. And through the years, I've appreciated more and more as the years have gone by. And a lot of years have gone by now. But he still continues to make a difference in my life. And that friendship made a difference, which continues through the years. You know, just by being friends, just by being there for people, just by being interested in people, you know, we make a difference in their lives. We make a difference related to that through encouraging people, just doing things to be an encouragement to other people. In Romans 14, verse 19, it says to pursue things that build each other up. But we live in a world where a lot of things tear us down. There are a lot of negative influences in our lives. There's a lot of things that discourage us. There are a lot of things that disappoint us. There are just a lot of difficulties. We live in a time, obviously, of tremendous economic problems and uncertainties. I know in Murray County right now, over in Columbia, there's a lot of uncertainty. We have a General Motors plant over there, which is about to close. We were hoping it was not going to close, that it was going to get a product that's now apparently not coming. And there's a lot of uncertainty in that community. And there's uncertainty. There's uncertainty everywhere, you know, in the world we live in. A lot of discouragement. You know, many people, if not most people, work at places where they get chipped away at, and there's a lot of negativity. You know, years ago I heard a story about a man who came home from work, you know, and he was just all discouraged. I may have told this before, but go ahead and laugh again in case you've heard me tell this before. Assuming it's funny, came home from work. He just had a terrible day. You know, he'd been chewed on all day. His boss had yelled at him. Everything had gone wrong. He would come home, and he's just all down in the dumps, and he's talking to his wife about this terrible day he'd had. And she encouraged him. She built him up. She said, well, honey, you may be nobody at work, but just remember here, you're second in command. And so that encouraged him, I'm sure. But you know, in a world full of discouragement, you know, we need to be those who encourage people, who say things that encourage people and build people up. You know, I wonder the effect when Jesus was nearing the end of his life. He was really in his final hours of his life. He himself was enormously discouraged. It says, said his soul was troubled to the point of death. I'm not even sure what that means, but it doesn't sound good. Now, Jesus himself was tremendously discouraged and tremendously just preoccupied with what was about to happen to him. He's trying to talk to his apostles about that, and And they don't really understand, and what little they understand seems to be upsetting them. And Jesus is trying to comfort them in his own distress. He looked at Peter, and Jesus, knowing the future and being able to see into the spiritual world in a way that the apostles couldn't, as he's looking around, he looks at Peter, and Jesus becomes aware of something that he says to Peter. He says to Peter, Satan really wants you. He said, he wants to sift you like wheat. And just what an interesting thing that Jesus could be able to see in the other side and see that Satan was particularly targeting Peter. And Jesus, knowing that, says to Peter, but I'm praying for you. What an amazing thing. I wonder how often Peter remembered that through the rest of his life. The night that Jesus, facing his own death, would say to Peter, I'm praying for you. It was encouraging to him. Barnabas we meet in the New Testament, who is recalled the son of encouragement. His name means encouragement. That's actually a nickname. Barnabas was a nickname, and an encourager. And Barnabas seems to have been just one of those people who just made other people feel better. It's one of those people who seemed to be able to tell when somebody was a little down or when someone was at some particular disadvantage, and Barnabas would have a way of stepping in to try to even things up. When Saul, who had become the Apostle Paul, was converted, the initial reaction of the Christians was very skeptical for a very good reason. They had every reason to think this might be some trick, since Paul had been rounding him up and having him killed. And Paul was having some significant difficulty being accepted in the church. And it was Barnabas who stepped forward and said, hey, we need to give this guy a chance. It was Barnabas who came and sided with Paul. Later, the tables would turn when Paul himself would have some bad feelings toward John Mark, and it would be Barnabas who would stand up for John Mark and do the same thing for John Mark toward Paul that he had done for Paul toward others. And he sided with John Mark and said, we need to give him another chance, and stood in his place as an encourager. That's really not that hard to do. It does take some effort. It does take some thought. But to stand in the place with those who need encouragement and to encourage them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, in a familiar passage, we read about how you're not supposed to skip church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But the whole point of that is, because of the encouragement factor, that we come together, we don't want to miss out on that because it encourages us. We're encouraged by coming, we encourage others by coming. We come together for encouragement. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul urged us to not have unwholesome things coming out of our mouths, but to say things that build others up, to say things that encourage people. And again, what a difference that makes. It doesn't change the whole world, but it changes that little part of the world at that particular moment. When someone's discouraged, or when someone is in need, or even if they're having a good day, to be able to say something to someone that encourages them, then that changes things. That changes their life at that particular moment. To say a word of encouragement. To write a note of encouragement. I think note writing is sort of becoming a lost art. To text somebody an encouragement, whatever. But to communicate with people in an encouraging way. I know I have a collection. I actually have a file folder of just notes and just things that people have written to me, or I've gotten, I have years worth of it because I can't throw them away. And it's just sometimes to kind of get that file folder out and just look at those things, and it just kind of brings a smile to my face, and it's encouraging. I've been blessed to be the recipient of those things. It's my responsibility to make sure that I'm sending those too. But I'm encouraging other people. Just send somebody a note, or send somebody a card, or again, an email, a text message, something, phone call, something that we can do to encourage each other. I can make a difference in the world by doing something that we have come to call the golden rule. That from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said to basically treat other folks the way you would like to be treated. Again, that really makes a difference, because that really doesn't happen all that much. We tend to treat people the way we are treated, or we tend to be interested in how other people are treating us, and sometimes don't stop to think. Now, let me think about this a minute. How would I want to be treated? And then I'm going to treat you that way. Not that I'm going to try to get you to treat me that way, that I'm going to treat you that way. And again, that happens, actually happens so little that I think people notice when that happens, and it does encourage them, and it does make a difference when people do that. We can change the world, make a difference through helping those who can't ever do anything back to repay us. Jesus had an amazing discussion as he acknowledged what all of us tend to do. We tend to be nice to people who are nice to us. We tend to do things for people who do things for us. And then Jesus spoke to that, and he said, when Jesus himself had been invited to a dinner party, Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repayment come to you. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, Jesus wasn't saying you can't ever do anything with your friends, you can't have a, you know, a party and invite the people you just enjoy being with, but he's making a point that part of what we should be doing is not just this back and forth kind of business we all do with other people, but to get outside of that and to do things for people who have no way to ever repay you. And Jesus said, boy, now there's the reward. The real reward's in that. And again, the difference that makes in life. We had an illustration in Sunday school here this morning about Billy Graham inviting a couple of boys on a work crew to his house for lunch. He knew there was no way those boys would have a way to repay him, but it was just something that he did to make a difference in somebody else's life, you know, to just do something to encourage or to help someone who had no way to pay him back. You know, there are things we could do for people. You know, we could do things for people secretly. That's always fun. Do something nice for somebody and not let them know who did it. We could do things for, you know, this church in the past, I know, has been very active with Habitat for Humanity. Just, you know, mission trips, Special Olympics, visiting nursing homes, any number of things we could do that enable us to do things for people who can't really do anything for us in return, who can't pay us back. And when people realize that, you know, that it makes a difference in their life. When they realize that someone did something for them, not in hope of something for return, not so that there'll be some payback at some other point, but when I realize that someone did something for me just because I needed it or just because they wanted to do something for me, then that makes a difference. And that does change things. Again, we might think, I don't know that I can make a difference. I don't know that I can, you know, what I can do that really makes any difference in the world. Well, could I give somebody a drink of water? And Jesus said that makes a difference. Jesus said, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. We don't have to just find big things to do. We don't have to be world famous. We don't have to change the world in a big global sense. We can change the world in a much smaller sense, which in the long run may be even more important. I heard a man talk many years ago now. He was an extremely wealthy man, and he was head of a very, very large corporation. So he was the sort of fellow who could have everything done for him if he chose. But he said that every Monday morning was trash day at his house. And he said he just got to thinking about that, and he went out one morning on Monday morning. So he was and was standing out in his driveway when the garbage collector came by, and as the gentleman was getting his trash, this very wealthy man said, "Thank you for coming," and just turned and went back in the house. I said, next Monday morning, he's out there again, and as the trash man came, he said, Thank you for coming," and went back in the house. And he did this week after week. And finally, one morning, the trash collector said, "I don't understand why you keep coming out here." And the very wealthy man said, "Because I appreciate what you're doing." He said, "What you're doing is important. If you didn't do this, I'm not sure what would happen. And I just want you to know I appreciate you coming by." And the man, big grin broke out on his face. He said, "Well, thanks." And You know, that didn't cost anything. It was just thinking. It was just being thoughtful and just doing something, even a small thing, that made a real difference in that person's life. You know, Emily Dickinson, the famous poet, wrote, "If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching or cool one pain, I shall not live in vain." And Mahalia Jackson sang a spiritual called, "If I Can Help Somebody." I won't sing it for you, but the words, "If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody how they're traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain." Second verse is, "If I can do my duty as a good man ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world upwrought, if I can spread love's message as the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain." And the chorus was, "My living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain." And we can make a difference in other people's lives. And if we do that, it makes a difference in our lives too. Imagine just the joy that came to that wealthy man when he realized he had just made the day of the garbage man. You know, how much fun that was for him to do. And what a kick he got out of doing that. We make a difference in our own lives. Edwin Markham wrote, "There is a destiny that makes us brothers. None goes his way alone. All that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own." We can make a difference in the lives of other people and make a difference in our own lives. And only eternity will tell how much difference our lives may have made. But Jesus did come to make a difference, not just in the lives of the people he encountered as he walked on earth, but to make a difference in our lives centuries later. He came to die for us. You know, and that's the ultimate difference, that one day we may spend eternity with him. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to decide to do that today, to become a Christian, acknowledging the difference that God has made in your life and that Jesus came to make in your life, and committing yourself to make a difference in your own life and the lives of others. Or if this church can pray with you and for you, we would love to do that. If we can encourage you today, or if you would become a Christian today, we'd invite you to come as we stand together and sing.